broken heart and your broken heart by the anointing. When you have tears on your pillow and pain in your heart, Jesus heals your heart. Oh my Jesus, He has the power to heal me. The Holy Spirit is a comforter in my life. Oh, Jesus is anointed, anointed to heal my broken heart. Oh, when I have tears on my pillow and pain in my heart, He's there for me. When I have tears on my pillow and pain in my heart, He is there for me. Oh, my heart, my tender heart, it's been broken so many times, so many things. Oh, but Jesus healed me, healed me time and time and time again. Oh, when I had tears on my pillow and pain in my heart, Jesus healed my heart. Oh,
He preserved. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Listen to me. There was a widow, a widow in the city of Nain. Her son had died, and she could not be comforted. Oh, but one day she met Jesus, He raised her son back to life again. Oh, when she had tears on her pillow and pain in her heart, Jesus healed her heart. Oh, there was another woman who had been bent over for 18 years. Oh, no one loved her, and no one showed her any kindness. Oh Lord, but one day she met Jesus, said to her, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. Oh, his power touched her body. She stood up that day, and she was healed. Oh, there was yet another woman, the woman with the issue of blood. Oh, she's been bleeding for 12 long years. Oh, and she has suffered many things. Oh, from many physicians. But you know what? She reached out and touched the hem of his garments, and she was healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When you have tears on your pillow and pain in your heart, Jesus heals your heart. Oh, when you have tears on your pillow and pain in your heart, Jesus heals your heart. When you have tears on your pillow and pain in your heart, Jesus heals your heart. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you put your hands together for our sister, Evelyn. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for this evening. We appreciate you and we are grateful to you for everyone that is here tonight. I'm praying that you be gracious to us and speak your word of life to us. Let your word make a difference in every life. Teach us your will. Show us your way. Be gracious to us and minister to us tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Sit on top of your enemies. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. How many of you are blessed to be here? Can I see your hand if you are blessed to be here? Fantastic. Well, we are all blessed to be in church. It's only the devil is not happy that we are here. But we are happy that we are here. Amen. Right. Let us receive the word of God. Very, very brief message tonight. Which group is singing tonight? Are you sure you came to church? I know the number. If the number is not enough, you can't sing. And, all right. Okay, a passage of scripture that I believe is important for all of us to understand can be found in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. All right. Now, it's very necessary that we understand the word of God. Amen. And see what God, where God is taking us, and also understand what it means, what Christianity is all about. Can I have an amen? Are you here? Right. So, last week I talked to you about speaking, isn't it? Yeah, how your life goes in the direction of your words. Amen. Right. And all the many things that we learned about last week. But today, you found your Bible, Romans chapter 4, and I'm going to ask us to read. It's a long passage, but we're going to go down all the way to verse number 17. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, Even God, who quickened the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were. Amen. Verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Right. Verse number 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Amen. Well, it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. All of you came with the bus. You'll be driving your four-wheel cars very soon to come to church. You have to believe some of these things, so. Do you believe it? All right. Now, let me read from the Message Bible. In fact, it's very self-explanatory. And then we will be, when I read it, I'm sure we'll understand it, and then we'll get ready to be closing. All right. The Message Bible on the screen. Very good. Verse 17. We call Abraham father, not because God, not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. May God make something out of you when you are nobody. I do believe it. God is good at making something out of nobodies. You see, faith, God wants us to live right. Somebody say amen. God wants us to live right. But if you read the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it is not none of the people mentioned there was approved of God because they didn't do anything wrong. They approved of God because they had faith in God. Say amen. That is why God was happy with them, because of their faith in God. So I'm saying to everybody here, the reason why the reason why Abraham became the father of faith, Bible says that it is not because he lived like a saint. In other words, not because he never made a mistake. All of us who make mistakes in our life. Is there anybody who hasn't made a mistake before? Can I see your hand? You have not made a mistake before. All right. David, have you made a mistake before? Are you sure? How many of us have told lies before? Can I see your hand? Look, I'm looking at every... How many of you have told lies before? You have lifted both hands. You even have to add your legs. What a shock. How many of you have stolen meat from your mother's soup before? Hey, your mother's watching your hands. You have stolen meat from your mother's soup before. What a shock. Okay. Okay. What other question should I ask? You know the one I'm going to ask. I won't ask it before there's confusion in the church. Are you there? So all of us have done wrong things before, and we are still doing wrong things, but God will help you to do the right thing. God does not approve of you doing the wrong thing. But I'm saying that pleasing God doesn't come by just doing the right thing. It comes by having faith in Him. Amen. Without faith, no man can please. Amen. You cannot please God. It's impossible to please God without faith. Without faith. Hallelujah. Without faith. Now, how does faith work? How is faith activated? What makes your faith? Listen, Christianity is a life of faith. Can I have an amen? It's not a series of good teachings that makes Christianity. Good teachings are good. But if you go to Rotary Club, they have good teachings. There's something they call the four principles of whatever, of the Rotarian. Does anybody know it? Is it truth? Is it fair? Is it something? Four principles of the Rotarians. Now, these are principles that you learn. There's so many principles in life that you can learn by listening to motivational speakers. You can listen to them by reading all types of books. You can read Carnegie, a man called Carnegie. What's the first name? Something Carnegie. Dale Carnegie, I think. He's a very famous author. How to Make Friends and Let People Like You or something. It's a good book. How to Make Friends and Let People Like You. Don't you want people to like you? I'm sure you want people to like you. So how to be friendly. If you want people to like you, one of the things that he says is that when you see them, talk about what they are doing and not what you are doing. Talk about how nice they are looking and not how you are looking. You see, when you talk about people and how great they are, you're such a great person, your clothes are very nice, they begin to warm towards you. All these are principles that people have taught. How to make people like you. How to make people like you. Brother, if you want to rap a girl, I'm telling you how to do it. Sit down. Who is I'm talking to you? Hello. You want people to like you. Anyway. Right. You know, when one of the things that puts off people off is when you begin to talk about your achievements. Oh, he didn't know who I am. Are you anybody in particular? I'm a very important person. You know what I'm saying? And begin to talk and so on. It puts people off easily. Anyway, these are principles that the world teaches. And some of them may have their roots in the Bible. But I'm saying that what makes Christianity outstanding is not the teaching about good living, principles of good living. It's about our root that is built in the Word of God, the root of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Somebody say amen. It is impossible. So the Bible says, Abraham, not put that scripture back again. But without faith, it's impossible. No, yeah. We call Abraham father, not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Everybody sitting here, God will make something out of your life. Let those who believe shout amen. Your life will get better and better. It will get sweeter and sweeter. You will become outstanding. When others are sitting, you will be standing. When they are standing, you will be outstanding. When they are standing, you will be the standard. May God make something out of your life. Hallelujah. God is a specialist. He makes something out of nobody's. Now look at it. Bible says, isn't that what we've always read in scripture? God saying to Abraham, I set you up as father of many peoples. Abraham was first named father and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do. Amen. Bible says Abraham was named father before he actually became a father. Say, Bishop, explain. I didn't hear your question, so I can carry on. It says Abraham was first named a father, isn't it? He was first, yeah, he was named a father before he became a father. In other words, before Abraham could have a child, they were calling him Father Abraham. Father Abraham. Father Abraham. Father Abraham. Before you can become what you must become, you must say it. Come on, say amen. You've got to say what you want to become. If you call yourself useless, I'm a failure, I am an entity, I am a nobody, you stay as a nobody. But you must call yourself a father before you become a father. Amen. He was named, so Abraham would go to the supermarket. He was old. Everybody knew him old. So he knew him as an old man. But when he said, please sir, when Abraham goes to the petrol station, buying fuel, now he wants a receipt. What name should I write? Write, my name is Father Abraham. And everybody knew he didn't have a child, but he was calling himself father long before he became a father. There's something that you can become, but you must call those things that be not as though they were. Come on, clap your hands for the Lord. Are you here? I said, are you in church? Very important. Bible says, again, still verse number 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. You see, it was spoken to him and he became it. What you believe, speak it into being. Believe that your life is going to get better. Believe that you get married. Believe that you go to university. Believe that you pass your exam. Believe that you do well in life. You might, and say it. Can I talk to anybody? Say it. Say what you believe. It will come to pass. Believe that this church is full. It will come to pass in the name of Jesus. Before this church will become full, those things that be, they don't exist. But we are calling them into being. Yeah. Hallelujah. We are doing what we are calling them into being. Now look at it. Verse number 19. And being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. I'm talking about why Abraham became a father of faith and how you can become a man of faith and a woman of faith. Amen. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, the Message Bible puts it beautifully. Go back to the Message Bible. It says here, is it there? Right. Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child. Who is speaking? Abraham. Nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. Amen. This is Abraham. He did not say this 100 years old body can never father a child. Don't give up on yourself. Tell your neighbor, don't give up on yourself. Shake his shoulder, shake him, hold the shake, say, don't give up on yourself. Is there anybody who has been disappointed before in life? Is there anybody who have had a major disappointment before? But it is not hopeless. Can I have an amen? Bible says Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say it's hopeless. Listen, if you're going to become a man or woman of faith, don't focus on yourself. Amen. Don't focus on your weakness. Don't focus on your shortcomings. Don't focus on your mistake. Don't focus on your limitation. Amen? Because you have limitations. You have weaknesses. You have shortcomings. You have problems. You have issues in your own life. If you focus on them, you will never become a man or a woman of faith. Can I have an amen? Matilda, do you understand what I'm saying? Don't focus on your own weakness. Don't focus on your own. Bible says that he don't focus on his own impotence. That I am too weak. I am too disqualified. I am too poor. I am unable. Everybody has weakness in yourself. If you focus on your weakness, you can never rise up to become what God wants you to be. A man of faith does not focus on his weakness. You don't focus on your shortcomings. He did not consider his own body, which is dead, or the deadness of Sarah's womb. Because he didn't say that, it's too late for us. It's never going to work. One language that you must never say is that it will never work. Never say it will never work. Amen. Say amen. Amen. You must say, I believe God. I believe God. Hallelujah. When God took Ezekiel to the valley of the dry bones, God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? What was Ezekiel's answer? Lord, thou knowest. I don't know how, because the bones were all scattered. They were all in the valley, and everything was scattered all over. And God says, can these bones live? Sometimes you can see yourself in a very hopeless condition, but don't look at the hopelessness of the condition. Look at the greatness of your God. Amen. Look at what God can do. I sense miracles coming to your life in the name of Jesus. God will do it. I said, God will do it. God will help you. Don't look at the father, my family. Some of us, we look at my family and my issues and my this. I'm very good at mathematics. My family is a very bad family. Nobody does well. Nobody lives long. All these negative things are in every family has problems. So, do you know that? Every family. I told you one day I was selling one of Bishop's books, Demons and How to Overcome Them. And a lady came to me and said, please, Bishop, I want three of the books. One for my husband, one for my husband's. I said, yeah, she wanted one for my husband, but one for my husband's father. Because there are demons in the husband's family. He wanted three. And then, after the lady left, the man also came, another point. The man didn't know his wife has come. He said, Bishop, I want to buy some of the books. One for my wife, one for my father-in-law, and one for my mother-in-law. What a shock. Every family have devils. Every family have issues. Every family have difficulties. But one of the things that what you must do is not to focus. Don't focus. Focus means to give attention. Focus means to gaze on. Don't focus on your own weakness. Focus on God. God is able to change every life. Can I have an amen? I see God doing it in your life. I said, God will do it in your life. God will bless you. God will lift you up. Some people are so afraid of everything in their... I met people who are obsessed with devils. Everything. A demon is... Even if they are eating, you want to hide under a table and eat because the demon may see the food they are eating. I met a gentleman years ago in Zurich, Switzerland. How he told me that after a meeting, he came and said, Pastor, I said, what's the problem? He said, my family, there are demons and witches all around. So I managed to get a visa. And I ran to from Ghana, and I'm now in Switzerland. I'm not here. And can you imagine, last night I had a dream. And there was a funeral, and I was the one in the coffin. And he told me, how did the demons get a visa to come to Switzerland? What a shock. Don't focus on devil. Focus on God. God is bigger than devils. Some of you talk about the devil too much. I went to a church abroad once, and I was there for a couple of weeks. They're having 1 week of prayer and fasting, and the prayer time, it was not easy. When they start to bind, the pastor, every meeting was binding. I mean, at a point, I was exhausted. Because when the pastor comes, said, today, we are going to kill this devil now. And as a church, I want to kill. Say, we are ready to kill. Let's kill it. We kill it. Hey, what prayer meeting is this? The following day, today, we're also going to fire the devil. Let's fire. Fire. And we are killing. I said, what is going on here? I tell you, it was not easy at all. The next day, we are going to scatter demons. We scatter. I mean, it's like, the whole week was on devils and demons. There was not even 15 minutes of worshiping and blessing the Lord. I remember the call, I said, Pastor, come. I said, Pastor, I want to go home. Can you drop me? He said, look, I am tired of this prayer meeting. Because, I said, no. There's no sweetness. It's like, the devil is standing in the neck of you. And he's asking that, so how often do you do this? So, almost every month, we have a week of binding and killing. I said, but the demons are not dying at all. They have plenty. Plenty. They are still around. You cannot fire. Demons don't die like that. God will have shot all of them. Are you there? Yeah, no. You can bind the devil. But you can't spend every day binding. You must spend some time loving God. Spend some time worshiping Him. God is greater than every devil. Come on, shout amen. You must learn to sometimes ignore what the devil appears to be doing and focus on what God is doing in your life. I see God doing great things in your life. One day, Martin Luther, the great Martin Luther, he found, Martin Luther is the one who opposed the Catholic Church and all those type of things. Now, Martin Luther was sleeping once, and then he heard some noise in his bedroom. When he opened his eyes, he saw this huge figure, like a dread demon, standing over him like that. You know what he said? He said, it's only you, the devil. Then he covered his head and slept and went back and slept. He told somebody proper, only the devil, you cannot disturb us. And he just slept. And he woke up in the morning, everything was okay. It's only you, the devil. Why do you let the devils destroy? Some of us, people spoil our days. A devil, everything. Hey, this food, is there a devil in it? Coca-Cola. I ban every devil in this Coca-Cola in the name of Jesus. Hey, take life easy and enjoy life small. Are you there? Learn to enjoy. No devil can kill you before your time. You will never die in Jesus' name. If God says no, nobody can say yes. If God says yes, nobody can say no. Believe in the greatness of your God. Hallelujah. Your God is a very great God. He's a very great God. So Abraham did not focus on his own weakness. Amen. He did not focus on his own weakness. He focused on the greatness of God. Amen. Let's go back to the scripture. It said, hello. How many of you are still here? Where are we? Which verse are we looking at? Verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Amen. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. That's how the Message Bible put it. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he had said. Amen. So that was Abraham. He rather became strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 20, became strong in faith, doing what? Giving glory. The more you bless God, the more you become strong in faith. Somebody say amen. The more you say, Lord, I thank you, I give you praise. Everything, I know this thing is in your hand. As you give God glory, you become strong in faith. I want everybody in this church to become strong in faith. Can I have an amen? You become strong in faith when you give God glory. Give God what? Glory. Give God what? Every day, let thanksgiving come out of your lips. Thank you for a good day. Thank you for a wonderful day. Thank you for a good wife, a good husband, good children. Thank God for a good job. Don't become a complainer. Give God glory. Your faith will become stronger. There's always something you can complain about, but there's always something you can give God glory about. So rather than being a complainer and a grumbler, give God glory. I said, do what? I said, do what? Give God glory. Every day, glorify God. Have a way of, Lord, I thank you. You're a wonderful God. I bless you for a good day. I bless you for the car I have. I bless you for the truck I'm sitting in. I bless you for my job. I bless you for my school. Give God glory. You become strong in faith. Be a person who is always giving God glory. There's something you can give God glory for. Pastor Tamako, do you understand English I'm preaching? You must give God glory. Give God glory. Some people are professional complainers. Professional, you are good at finding faults. Complaining. Grumbling. Your smiles are finished. You can't smile. You can't be happy. Your face is always long, twisted, thwarted, contorted. What a shock. There's no life in you. There's no excitement about you. Every day there's something that is worrying you. You cannot carry the load of the world on your shoulder. You are not Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen? Look at your life, and is there not something you can give glory for? Cannot give God glory for something? You are not the only person who is broke. Do you know that? Yes. So don't work as if that I'm the only broke. Nobody is more broke than I am in this world. You are lying. You have not met other people. It cannot be that you are the ugliest person in life. Ladies, am I talking to you? Some ladies don't like themselves. So, if my nose was a little smaller or bigger, what about if your nose was upside down and rain goes into it? What would you do? Give God glory. You become strong in faith. Somebody say amen. Give God glory. When you wake up in the morning, don't say, today, every day I'm not feeling well. So I thank God a new day has come. So if the first that comes out of your mouth is a complaint or a grumble or a problem. Today has come a whoa. I mean, what are you talking about? What is going on in your life? You are not dead. You are alive. I said you are alive. Can I have an amen? Give God glory. Tell your neighbor from today, don't complain again. Say, I'm warning you. I'm warning you. You see, when you complain or you grumble, you become weak in faith. When you give God glory, you become strong in faith. And faith is the thing that will bring God's blessing to your life. Come on, shout amen. Are you still here? Don't complain too much about the road. The road is not good, but give God glory that at least there's a road. Because there's no road at all. When I went to one of our pastor's house, I realized that this road is like first class compared to where he lives. I know the road is not good, but we are giving God glory. Look at where you are going and start talking about where you are. You are going to a nice church. Let where you are going be exciting to you. You will discover that you not even see a pothole on the road. Give God glory. I said, give God glory. Give God glory. Don't complain about the shape of your head. Your shape is very nice. You have a very nice shape. Can I have an amen? Because somebody insulted you once, told you your ears is like a mat. Asukete. I'm ready for Asukete. Your ears like a mat. So up to today, this was when you were in class 5. You are now 22 years old. You still believe that it's asokete, your ears like mats. What a shock. No, there's some negative things that have been said about you that you can't forget. Who can understand what I'm saying? You can't forget. It's still in your heart, still in your mind. You still remember it. And anytime you remember it, you get depressed. You don't seem to like yourself. But look at what God has done. You are so beautiful. You are so wonderful. Why don't you stand in the mirror and say, Lord, I like the person I see in the mirror. He's a very nice person. I like you. Amen. You've got to like yourself. You see the person, I said, this person in the mirror is a nice person. Yeah. Auntie Vero, are you there? Cool. Auntie Vero, are you there? What are you thinking about? What is it? Her mind is not here at all. What problem are you thinking about? Yeah. Then I have to mention your name twice. Hello? Hello? Ask your neighbor, do you like yourself? First of all, ask your neighbor, do you like me? If the answer is, if the person is not sure, tell me, I don't mind. I like myself. In case you don't like me, I like myself. Auntie B, you know, be so. Yeah. I like what God has made in your life. I like me because God has made me who I am. I am not a mistake. I'm not an accident. I'm made in the image of God. Come on, shout amen. Give God glory. I said, do what? Give God glory. Amen. He became strong in faith, giving God glory. Amen. Auntie Monica, isn't it true? As you give God glory, you become strong in faith. What's your name, my brother? William. Ah, this is William. Now, you came last Sunday. You called me, and you came again. Give me five. Welcome. And that's your wife. How God did God give such a beautiful wife? I give God glory for your wife. Clap your hands for my brother. Give God glory. Some of us, when somebody makes a mistake, we remember his mistake forever. Remember her mistake forever. This boy, one day I was working with a man years ago. I think when I was in law school, this man had a manager in the hotel. One day, you see, this general doesn't eat onions, want to smell onions. The girl at the reception ate onions. It's about 7 years. This girl, she came and she said, was it yesterday? It was 7 years ago. He remembered how the girl ate onions before she came to work in the morning. 7 years. You remember bad things too easily. You've got to press, eject, delete, and let God put in good things in your mind. Can I have an amen? Amen. Remember good things about yourself and give God glory. And do what? Give God glory. Hallelujah. Clap your hands for the Lord. He is staggered not. Stagger. You stagger. Staggering is like a drunkard. For almost falling. You are staggering. He did not stagger at the promise of God. In other words, when God said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a child. He did not stagger at the promise. He did not stagger. He didn't waver. He said, Lord, I believe. And as he gave God glory, he became more and more stable in his life. God's promise shall come to pass in your life. You will enjoy God's goodness in your life as you keep on giving God glory. Amen. And now let's finish this. Verse number 22. 21. 21, and being fully persuaded, I like it, that what he had promised, he was able also to. Do you know God will perform what he has promised? Did anybody say amen to that? God's promises will come to pass in your life. I said it will come to pass in your life. And being fully persuaded, what he had promised, he was able to. You see, if you will, marriage demands persuasion. Somebody wraps you, tells you all the nice things. You have a beloved, don't you? Somebody like, I don't know what you told her for her to agree to marry you. I mean, you wrap a person, you talk to the girl, to a point that The girl now decides to collect her clothes, her suitcase, and leave her father and mother's home and come and follow somebody like you. You. Hey, stand up. Look at you. Look at this boy. Look at him. He can talk to a girl, say all sorts of things to the girl, for the girl to decide that I'm leaving my father's home, my mother's home, and follow this thing. Follow this thing. Do you understand? It is a miracle, I tell you. That somebody will be persuaded by you. And the person will even change her name because of you and follow you. I tell you. It's a miracle. But it demands persuasion. Persuasion. You believe that. You see, that is why it does not take money to marry. It takes persuasion. Persuasion. That this mulliganous boy is just a mulligan. Mulligan is something out of bounds. This mulliganous boy standing here, one day will become a great minister. Is it possible that his life can change? That he would change? When I married, I told you my shoes I bought it from Cantamanto. 4 cedis. I scrubbed the undersole with Omo and soap and put Vaseline under so that when I knew that it would be shining. But it was secondhand shoe. But I was able to rub somebody's daughter to follow me. Be fully persuaded. The stove I was using was a fifth hand stove. Somebody used it and gave it to somebody and gave it to someone and gave it to someone, and I inherited it. The 4 burners, only one was working. But she was fully. She followed me that I'll perform. I will perform eventually. And I performed as time went by. I said, I performed as time went by. One day I got money. I said, follow me. And she followed me. We went to a shop. I said, choose any gas cooker you want. Choose it. And I was walking around. I don't care. Just don't look at the price. Choose. And I said, Lord, may she not choose the expensive one. But she was fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Are you there? And she followed all along. And things changed by the grace of God. Before she realized, we are moving into our own house. You are not going to remain the same as you are forever. Things are going to change. But if you want to follow God, be fully persuaded that God is going to bless you. Your life will not remain as it is. It's going to get better and sweeter. Better and sweeter. Better and sweeter. Better and sweeter. Am I talking to anybody here? God is going to help you. Clap your hands for the Lord. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was written. It was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. Someone say, for us also. Push at him and say, for you also, for you also, for you also. Amen. Bible says, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Can I have an amen? Amen. Do you also believe? I said, do you believe also? It is not only Abraham who was going to be called, the righteousness of God. You also can be called the righteousness of God. If you can believe that God's promise shall come to pass in your life. We believe that's why we are here today. When we came out into the tent, we said we are going to move to our cathedral. It's 2.5 years later, we are in our cathedral. God has imputed righteousness because we believed it. I said, because you believed it, you too believe, your life will change. I said, your life will change. You are going to see God go taking up and up. You are not going to go down and down and down. You are going to go up and up and up. Does anybody believe it? I said, is there any believer in this church? I pray for you. That God's promises, you hold on to his promises. that you will not stagger, you will not waver, you will not be moved at the promise of God, but rather you will be stable and the promise of God will guide you. May God bless your life. May God transform your life. May God change your life. May you experience the grace of God on your life. May the hand of God rest upon you. May your light shine brighter and brighter. May your way get clearer and clearer. May every day bring you closer and closer to the will of God. May you experience the promise of God in your life. And may all see the goodness of God in your life. In Jesus' name. Stand to your feet, everybody, and clap your hands for the Lord. Give God glory by your clap offering. Give God glory. I said, give God glory. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. A shout of praise. Hallelujah. Do you believe that your life will change? As you are now, you're not going to remain like this forever. Things are going to get better in your life. You're going to see God's promises come to pass in your life. And God's word will be fulfilled in your life. Lift your two hands with me and let us pray. Father, thank you for this evening. Just talk to God. Say, Lord, I want to grow strong in faith. I don't want to be weak. I don't want to be feeble. I don't want to be somebody doubting whether it will ever come to pass. But talk to him and say, Lord, I want to trust you. I want to believe in you. I want to trust in your promises. You want to say, Lord, I want to hold on to your word. I want to trust in every word that you have spoken concerning my life, that it will come to pass. It doesn't matter how long it takes. Abraham did not look at his own weakness or the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he believed in God, and God counted it to him as righteousness. Lord, I pray for your children as we lift our hands to you. I pray that you bless your children, be gracious to us, help us and guide us. Let your promises come to pass in every life, in the name of Jesus. I pray, O God, take us to a new level in our walk with you. May we be people of faith, men and women of faith, who believe in your promises, who believe in what you have said. In the name of Jesus, may we turn our eyes from our own weaknesses, from our own shortcomings, and focus on your greatness, on your power, and your ability to change lives. In the name of Jesus, be glorified in every life here. We give you thanks and give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this evening and you want to say, Bishop, I need Jesus in my life. Maybe you know you are not born again. You have not given your heart to Jesus. You are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell when you die. But this Tuesday evening, when they say, Bishop, I need God. I want Jesus to come into my heart, wash away my sins, and make me your own child. If you're here tonight and you want to give your life to Jesus, can you kindly lift your hand up high and I shall pray with you. Lift your right hand up high and I shall pray with you. Father, thank you so much for your people and thank you for your word. Thank you for salvation and deliverance and forgiveness. Help us to serve you and love you the rest of our lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.